Good morning, church. Thanks. At Worship Center, we're journeying together to be growing followers of Jesus who love God and love people. Let's do it again because I think you know the answer there. We're on a journey together to be growing followers of Jesus who love God and love people. The first time I heard Pastor Matt say that, he was praying over a baby, and I thought, that is such a beautiful combination. It's simple, and it's powerful, and it impacts us and the whole world around us. In this series, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines. Yay! you can see several of them here in the pictures above, and in specific this morning, we're going to be talking about Bible study. We're going to start by doing a little activity together. So everyone close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Now think of a truly awe-inspiring place. Maybe the mountains or a beach, Grand Canyon or a glacier. It's awe-inspiring. Keep your eyes closed. Imagine the sky above you. Lately, I've been thinking how creative it was for God to make the sky change all the time. It could have just been flat blue, but we get clouds floating by. They change shapes and colors, white, gray, pink, orange, red, even purple sometimes. Okay, now think of something living that's magnificent. Maybe a whale or a soaring eagle or a redwood tree. What makes it magnificent? Finally, imagine tasting a favorite food, maybe a steak or lobster or a piece of pie a la mode. One more deep breath, and you can open your eyes. There's so many things you can do with your mind. You can imagine places and feelings. You can plan ahead and build anything, from a great meal to a skyscraper. You can remember past experiences, and you can dream for the future. The big idea for this message is that the God of everything wants to interact with us personally through His Word, the Bible. The God of everything you just imagined wants to interact with us personally through His Word, the Bible. I can only talk to a limited number of people at a time, and I certainly can't interact personally with each of them at the same time. But I heard a thought about this many years ago from Dean Sherman, and I want to share it with you. He talked about the vastness of the sky and how limitless the universe is. The Milky Way, the speed of light, how immense space is. His big creation shows us how big our Creator is. Then he turned the talk inward, and he focused on our internal structure. He talked about atoms and protons and neutrons and how unfathomable molecules are. I don't really understand it all. Hardly anyone really does. But remember the table of elements, the periodic table that you studied in school? Track with me here a second. Apparently, the elements are different because of the speed the molecules move per second. He talked about how it only makes sense that the element that moves the fastest was created by someone who can think faster than that. So that being would be able to have at least that many thoughts per second. He said there are fewer people on the earth than the number of movements in that molecule per second. God has such a vast capacity that He can think of you and me and all of us once per second and still have space left over for everyone else in the whole world once per second. He loves us each once per second. He is so vast. And yet He wants to have relationship with us. This series about spiritual disciplines can feel like a list of do's and don'ts, but it's really a pathway to connection with the amazing and astounding God of the vast universe. One of the best ways to know him, to connect with him, is through his word, the Bible. He gave us a book of stories about who he is. It has poems and promises, directions and declarations, encouragement and comfort. The Bible is different than any other book. Hebrews 4 says, God's word is alive and working and sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones, and it judges our thoughts and feelings in our hearts. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, it's in there. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. He wants to guide you. And 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching. Other translations say, to teach us what is true. Let's stop at true for a moment. Our society is on a quest for truth. How many of you have heard someone say, well, that's your truth, or this is my truth? But there's only one truth. Truth cannot change. God's truth is truth. It's not dependent on how we feel or what experiences we have. It's solid and unchanging, an anchor for our minds and hearts. So let's go back to that verse again. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their life, for connecting faults and for correcting faults, and for teaching us to live right. Many of us don't like being told what to do, but it's not like God wants to boss us around like a bad drill sergeant. He's more like Yoda, who wants to train us to walk in the right ways. Or maybe I should say, all good teachers and Yoda are like God. His word, the Bible, is a trail map, a guide that helps us live out who he meant for us to be and forward the kingdom message of God's love, kindness, and companionship. It's hope when we need it, a glimpse into the kingdom that is not obvious while living here. Let's be clear, though. Bible study is not the same as Bible reading. If you are just reading, you're missing out. I didn't always get that. I grew up in a Christian home. As far back as I can remember, I wanted to live in the kingdom way. I can remember a certain VBS, I was probably 4 or 5, and the leader said, if you don't have a time to remember when you decided to follow Jesus, this can be your time. And I thought, okay, I want to be part of that. Another milestone for me was during the Jesus People movement when my parents came to a greater understanding of who God was, and I experienced an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was about 12, and then I went through high school, and I would say I survived. I wanted to impact my friends and my school for God, but for the most part, I was alone in my faith. During that season, I read the Bible, but as I said before, I don't think I really got it. I read because I knew it was the right thing to do, but I wasn't really interacting with what I was reading. I mean, it certainly didn't hurt anything, but I didn't realize there was more to it, more available than I realized. That happened when I went to YWAM. And I went to a discipleship training school, and I truly came into a better understanding that my faith journey was not one of simply choosing kingdom principles over worldly ones. I came to realize that God had a personal pathway for me to follow. He wanted an interactive relationship with me, not just one built on gratefulness for my salvation and following kingdom principles. If you aren't interacting with the Bible regularly for yourself, you are missing out on so much. He is waiting there in the pages to interact with you. You probably all agree with me that Bible study is a good idea. And we probably all agree that physical fitness is a good idea as well. However, knowing something's a good idea and actually doing it can be two different things. You're not likely to drift into physical fitness. There are a lot of factors to be considered, and many of us have different ways we lean in. My husband likes to bike every day, sometimes twice a day. And I join him on the weekends, but that's a lot of biking. Who likes to bike? Any other bikers out there? Oh, we got some in the service. How about organized sports? Who plays on a team of some sport? Yeah, we got some of those too. Walkers, joggers, runners. And then there's the new craze of pickleball. I like pickleball. But I'm really a gym person, if I'm honest. The weather is always pleasant in there. It's never raining, never hot, never cold. I like the gym. A good personal trainer would help you choose what works best for you and partner with you in your journey. But they would start by helping you with your why. A good life coach does the same. They probe for why the outcome you want to invest in is important to you. They know you will need those reasons to give you fuel when the going gets tough. A good life coach starts with the preferred outcome and why it's worth it. Then the how, looking at options are available. And then what and when, and where they build action steps. And that's how we're going to proceed today. So let's look at the why. Why study the Bible? I took a poll online and got some wonderful responses to this question, why study the Bible? And my personal favorite was from our very own Dustin Lead, who said, to encounter Jesus and allow him to transform my heart every day. If that doesn't happen, we're just better equipped to debate people. Transformation, that's what our faith journey is all about. The creator God of the vast universe, the designer of your personal makeup, the author of all that's good, wants to interact with you. There's treasure there to be found, connection for your spirit, insight for your mind, inspiration for your journey, answers to your questions, comfort and courage for your soul. A good life coach would also ask questions like, what will it give you if you do this well? And what will happen if you don't bother? But it's kind of like physical health. You can't just do it when you're young and think you're good for life. Just because you read through the Bible doesn't mean you got it. There's always something new for us to learn and experience. I'm really excited about that. Remember the many pathways for exercising? It's the same with spiritual fitness. Some people really love one thing and think everyone should do it, and others really swear by something else. I want to share some possible pathways, trails heads that you can choose from to lean into spiritual fitness through Bible study. A trailhead is a start of a journey. Let's explore some possible avenues for Bible study. If you're new to all of this, there'll be some basics in here for you. And if you're a veteran to Bible study, I hope you'll also find a spark that will light a fire for the next step in your journey. Don't worry, I'll put this whole list, I'm gonna go kind of fast, and the associated links in the e-news, maybe even a couple bonuses. Wait, you're not getting the e-news? Of course you wanna do that. It's the lifeblood of what's happening in our church. Encouraging thoughts, events, news, all the things. It comes once a week. If you wanna be in the know, this is where to go, so make sure you're getting that. Again, you probably can't walk down all these trailheads at once, but my prayer is that your spirit will be quickened to one or more of these to connect your affirmation with what you actually choose to do. So let's get started. Our first one has been a recurring theme here for a number of months now, and there are so many applications. Create space. Choose a time and place, a recurring space where you're going to meet with God through his word. You've heard Pastor Matt say this one before. Habits don't just happen. No one drifts into a discipline. If you're going to build something, you need a blueprint. Are you a morning person? Then your time should probably be in the morning. Give God your best. Or if you're a night person, maybe your time should be at night. The most important thing is consistency. Pick that time and place. See yourself there. Where will you be? What time is it? What do you need to set yourself up for success? Consider habit stacking. My time is in the morning with my coffee. No one has to remind me to have coffee. Envision yourself there in that time and place and do what it takes to make it happen. Next up is pick a plan. There are so many great plans out there. Having a plan avoids the flip open. You know what the flip open is, where you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll just see what happens. And you flip it open and see where you want to start. I heard about a guy who flipped open and it said, and Judas went out and hung himself. And he said, nah, maybe not that one. So he flipped again and it said, go thou and do likewise. So having a plan avoids the flip open. There's a lot of great plans out there. Jesus calling is one that Eric and I have been doing every day for years. It has scriptures on the bottom that are reworded on the top. So you can read through. It's like Jesus is talking straight to you, Jesus calling. And it's a super great place to start. I can't believe every year we go through it, and so many times of the year we read one of those and we feel like, wow, God knows exactly where I'm at today. It's a beautiful way to lean in. Another favorite of mine is YouVersion. So that's an app you can get on your phone. And the YouVersion app has a verse of the day on the right there. You can see it. There's a verse, a short devotional that's a video by someone, and a guided prayer. If you're new to quiet time or daily devotions, this is a great place to start. And you're joining in the verse of the day with people all over the world. Another one of my favorites that you can find on YouVersion is the Own It 365 one-story plan. This has three different readings from different places in the Bible. It goes through the Bible chronologically. So it might tell the story of David and then maybe a psalm that he wrote during that time. And then whatever character quality is called out, there would be a New Testament passage from that. I think I'm on my third time through this Own It. And I'll probably stick with it my whole life because it revisits all the stories, all the characters, and shows me how there's a theme that runs through the whole Bible. YouVersion also offers a Psalm and Proverb daily plan. Like I said, you probably can't do all of these, but I hope one of them sparks something for you. Oh, I could read a Psalm and Proverb every day. Another favorite of mine is the Bible Project. How many of you have heard of the Bible Project? A fair number, but still a lot of you that haven't. And so I wanted to try and explain what the Bible Project was, but it's kind of automation and it talks about big picture things. And I found a video that can do it much better than me. So let's watch this video.
So the Bible is one of the most influential books of all time, but what is it exactly?
Yeah, some people treat the Bible like a divine behavior manual that dropped out of heaven. Others use it like a theology dictionary, written to answer all of our questions about God. And others still think of it like a grab bag of spiritual one-liners and inspiring stories.
But here's the thing. The Bible isn't written as a rule book or theology dictionary or even as a collection of inspirational writings.
Then what is the Bible?
Well, open up the Bible to page 1 and read the opening words.
In the beginning.
Now, turn to the last chapter of the Bible where you can read this.
And they reigned forever and ever. Okay, so the Bible's telling a story from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's one epic narrative about how God has appointed humanity as his partners to oversee this amazing world. It's about how we've ruined that partnership and how God is restoring us and our world through Jesus.
Okay, one story, but there's a lot going on. Many plots, many characters, all written in many different books.
But once you see how every book has a careful literary design, you won't get lost. And you can see how it fits into the overall storyline.
There are also important repeated themes that weave through the entire biblical story.
Yeah, like the covenants that God makes with people.
Or the hope for a human who will confront evil.
Or how God's justice will one day make all things right. And every theme culminates in the story of Jesus.
There are also a lot of strange words in the Bible, words we don't use in normal language.
But when we take time to understand them, we discover profound ideas that contribute to the overall biblical story.
So it takes work to know how to read the different types of literature in the Bible.
But once you do learn how, you'll discover that the Bible is a work of literary genius that can transform how you live and how you think about everything.
So that's what the Bible Project is all about, to help people see the Bible as one unified story that leads to Jesus.
We're a nonprofit animation studio that makes videos and resources.
And it's all free to use because of a large group of generous people who've come together to contribute to this project.
You can find everything that we're up to at thebibleproject.com.
So I love the Bible Project. It's built my Bible confidence and my understanding of books of the Bible, concepts in the Bible, and themes that run through the whole Bible. If you're interested in a particular book or a person or a character quality, there's so much you can find there. So another trailhead I want to talk about is to start bite-sized. Sometimes when people get really inspired, they're like, oh, I'm going to do this for an hour every day. And then, let's be honest, in January, how many of us decide we're going to exercise every day? And by January 15th, maybe not so much. And it can be like that when you get inspired to study the Bible. I want to encourage you, start bite-sized. Start with a five-minute habit. Build up to 10, build up to whatever God leads you toward. It will be worth the effort. Search for something. When I'm sweeping the kitchen floor because it's on the chores list, it's very different than if I've dropped an earring. Searching is different than sweeping. Reading is different than study. So when you're going through the Bible, if you're looking for something, you're much more likely to find something. I started color coding things I was looking for in my Bible a long time ago. How many of you have a zipper cover for your Bible? I don't know if that's common anymore, but I can't get rid of mine because my Bible will fall apart. But inside my Bible, you'll see lots of pages where there's color coding. So green is for anything coaching. Orange is for something that meant something to me personally. Pink is for lies and truth. Blue is for word pictures. There's lots of different colors in there. I would encourage you, pick something you're interested in and look for that. What does the Bible say about prayer? What does it say about healing? What does it say about hope or anxiety? Read through and pick a color and highlight it. I would encourage you, don't do a whole bunch of them. Do two or three at a time. And you can do that online as well. Next, you'll be much more likely to launch a new trailhead if you tell somebody. I recently talked to my brother-in-law about an intentional eating plan I was moving toward and told him when I was going to start. Just knowing that he knew encouraged me to actually follow through and avoid the someday or after this stressful season or excuses. Share your plan with your small group. Ask each other how you're doing, and you can celebrate together. Another possibility is to do a book study. Choose one book, read through it in multiple versions. Look at the way it was organized, dig into its history, watch the Bible Project about it. I heard a rumor we're going to be doing Hebrew soon, so that might be a great place to start. Or you can do a character study. Pick a person to read about them. Consider what they would have been going through. Research what their culture was like and learn from them. The people in the Bible are real people. They have family backgrounds, personality quirks, things they did well, and things they could have done differently. Who could you learn from? My husband Eric's been leaning into Moses this year, and he seems to come up everywhere for him. Sight and Sound even focused on Moses this year. Another possible way to lean into Bible study is to memorize. Maybe a verse a week or a verse a month. Remember to start small. I do know of someone in our church who is memorizing the whole book of John this year, but I bet she didn't start with a goal this size. When you've chosen your verse, consider putting it in multiple places. Your screensaver on your computer, your wallpaper on your phone, sticky notes around your house. Whenever you see it, say it out loud. See how far you can get till you have to open your eyes and look at it again. One of my daughters used to add verses she had memorized to a key ring. What a great thing to fill your mind with. The next one is similar, but maybe a little bit bigger on the choosing side. Adopt an anchor verse for a decision or a circumstance and meditate on it. If you need guidance or courage or hope or whatever, God wants to meet you there. He has answers and wants to embed them in your heart and your mind. Whenever Eric is making a big decision, he always does this. And then when the going gets rough, he can pull it out. The last trailhead is to journal. Write about what you find. Pastor Matt asks God to highlight a verse when he is reading, and then he journals about that. This is my prayer journal. So you might be saying, like, but how do I know? How do I know if God is highlighting something? Some of my passages say, I think you're saying this. Tony Stolzfus always says, if what you're thinking God is saying, ask yourself, is it biblical? If it is biblical, where else would it be coming from? So you can trust him. You can learn to hear him. Writing out your thoughts makes you pause to choose words about what you feel might be in your heart. Another way to lean into journaling is to do a 30 and 30. How many of you were here at Christmas when a couple years ago when Pastor Matt talked about 30 and 30? Okay, so I'll explain it for those who weren't here. So a 30 and 30 is where you take one verse and write down 30 thoughts about that verse in 30 minutes or less. So I don't do this one every day, but when I feel inspired, I choose a verse and write down those 30 thoughts. I recently did one on Proverbs 3:3. Don't ever forget kindness and truth. Wear them like a necklace. Write them in your heart as if on a tablet. I saw the two sides of relationship much more clearly, and I was challenged to share both kindness and truth with people. I was also felt challenged to receive kindness and truth from God. I wouldn't have gotten all that way had I not taken time to write down a whole 30 thoughts about that verse. So there are 10 trailheads you can walk down into the pathway to Bible study. But a good coach won't stop with talking about your preferred future and the options available. They'll finish well by asking you what you're going to do. Affirming that Bible study and spiritual health are valuable is not yet an investment. What will you do? If that list went too fast, again, you can find it on the paper handout, online, or in the e-news. Wherever you find your notes, included are message-based discussion questions, as well as an activate question. The activate question is where we move our faith from affirmation, oh, that is a good idea, to application, where we decide how we're going to walk it out in real life. Since it's group sign-up Sunday, can I encourage you not only to study God's word on your own, but to share your life and insights in a group? The activate question in groups this week is about how you will move forward in Bible study. If you're not in a worship center circle of faith, we invite you to join a group. There is a place for you here. For those of you joining online, we have online groups as well. In groups, we share our lives. We verbalize how we're living out our faith. We get connected, care for each other, challenge each other to grow, and celebrate together. I hope you know I love groups. But please don't let groups substitute for your personal Bible study. There can be insightful learning that happens in a group study, but God has hidden treasures for you personally. If you seek, you will find. Find your own rhythm. Like I said before, you're not likely to drift into spiritual health. It's a byproduct of intentionality. I used to think I just needed to keep investing in being good. Being grateful for my salvation, but I found out there's so much more to being a growing follower of Jesus. Sometimes it feels like people are waiting for something to happen to them, to be inspired, and then they'll get more involved. But the truth is that revival is a choice of our hearts. So we aren't just waiting for God to do something and then we will respond. There are two kinds of physical revival. One is when you stop breathing and someone revives you. The other is when you're very thirsty or tired or hungry and you choose to do something about it and revive yourself. Oh God, make us hungry. Help us choose to revive our tired and thirsty souls. When we get revived, we quiet ourselves, we study his word and listen to his heart. So choose your trailhead, your best next step on your journey as a growing follower of Jesus. Give it a go and adjust as needed. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "So every teacher of the law has been taught about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings both old and new things he has saved." There are age-old truths in God's word for us to build on, and there are new applications for our lives that he wants to reveal. We all love a good story. History, in fact, is just that, stories from the past. Mystery is what he has for us now. There's a resolve to whatever you are in the middle of. If you are overwhelmed, God has answers for you. And if you are bored, he has exciting plans for you to move forward. There's always more. If you find that the faith stories you refer to are mostly from your past, you're missing out on what God has for you today. He has now stories that he wants to write with you. Matthew 22 says, "Then the king sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited that my feast is ready. I have killed my best bulls and calves for dinner, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But the people refused to listen, and the servants left to do other things. One went to work in his field, and another went to his business." There's a feast waiting for us at the table. How will you come to the table? He wants to meet with us about our real life stuff. The offer is on the table. There's always more. One more encouragement. Jesus told a story about two sons whose father asked them to do something. One said yes, but he didn't actually follow through. And the other didn't say yes, but ended up doing what the father asked. Which are you more likely to be like? I'd like to encourage you to be the best of both. Will you say yes to the challenge and follow through? 2 Corinthians 8 says, "So now finish the work you started. Then your doing will be equal to your wanting to do. Give from what you have." Sorry. "If you seek him, he will let himself be found." And Proverbs 8 says, "Those who find me find life, and the Lord will be pleased with them." Let's pray. Father, your word is filled with life and hope, courage and comfort, clarity and direction, and everything we need. Open our eyes like you did with the men on the road to Emmaus. We need you, and we ask you to help us connect with you more and more for our relationship with you to be vibrant and growing. Father, I pray for those who cannot yet say that they get it. Can you give them the courage to respond today, to invite you into their lives, to breathe hope and connection and purpose into their souls? If that's you, you don't yet get it, but you want to join in with the faith family and have a vibrant relationship with God, you can pray with me now, and we can all pray this out loud together so no one is praying alone. Magnificent God, that you know our names is amazing. Today, I choose to believe that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you. I ask you to forgive my sins because of what Jesus did for us. I ask you to help me build a new life with you. I welcome you to lead me. I celebrate being part of a new family and a new way of life. Help me to live in a way that honors you and connects with you and your people. Thank you for this new way of living. If you prayed that prayer today, we want to celebrate with you and connect with you. We have a gift for you. Can you raise your hand and let us know so we can welcome you into the family of God? Keep your hand up there until an usher sees you. As we get ready to leave, let's stand. faith grows best in the context of relationship. If you are not in a worship center group yet, there are signups at every exit, and you can take a card home and look through the groups available. But don't wait too long. Some of the groups do have a limited amount of slots available. Also, remember that Madison Smucker is in Center Square if you'd like to talk to her about what she's doing. And we'll have a prayer team up front if you need prayer for any reason. If you're new to the family of faith or new to Worship Center, please feel free to stop by a connections room on either side as you leave, and we'll help you get connected. So enjoy your journey. Have a great Sunday. There's always more.